Hey guys, welcome to This Week in Movie News, brought to you by the Movie Chick and the Popcorn Talk Network. We're excited to be back, and this week's panel is all Movie Chick ladies again, so we're super excited to start. First off, I'm going to start off by introducing Miss Zoe Hewitt.
Hey guys, Zoe here, glad to be back with you.
And we also have Katie Cullen.
Hi all my buddies.
And next to me, Megan Salinas.
Hey guys, can't wait to talk about stuff this week.
Yeah, we got some exciting stuff. So first of all, we always start off with the box office. So this week, the box office, number 5 was Maze Runner, Scorch Trials. Number 4 was The Intern. Number 3 was Sicario. Number 2, Hotel Transylvania. Holding on strong. And number 1 was The Martian. The films that opened this week, by the way, besides The Martian, were The Walk, which came in at number 11, Free Held at number 52, and He Named Me at Malala at number 43. Ladies, any surprises on the opening weekend this weekend? Did anybody see any of the films that came out that they were really excited about?
We finally saw Hotel Transylvania 2. And now it's seasonal because it's getting into October. That movie is fun but confused.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Confused. And it's doing so well, probably because, like we said last week, it's the only kind of kid-friendly movie out right now.
Yeah. Exactly. We can touch on that at a later point in time as to why it's confused. What I'm surprised by is Sicario being number 3. I thought it would be a little bit higher, just given all the buzz. The Martian being number 1 does not surprise me in the least bit. But I thought Sicario might have actually outdone Hotel Transylvania because there's just been so much positive buzz about it.
Yeah, The Martian, I will say, I did see was excellent, and make sure you check out the Popcorn Talk because there'll be some quick reviews coming out this week, and The Martian is one of them. And it was beautiful, and I'm not surprised because there was so much buzz going into this film. And then, like Katie pointed out last week, there is water on Mars. I think even more people wanted to go see it because of that. So that was really exciting. So I didn't expect Sicario to go much higher than 3 because it came out with a limited release last weekend, and I think the big cities that were going to see it were the ones that were limited open in last week.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into some movie news. Oh, sorry, Zoe.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, I enjoyed The Martian, too. And I thought Matt Damon, like, couldn't you watch him do anything for 2.5 hours? That movie went by so quickly, and it was so different than, like, Gravity and Castaway, which I feel like are the closest that people think of with them.
Yeah, I could watch Matt Damon do anything.
As long as the camera stands still.
Sorry, Born Identity. Of the SNL sketch.
Yeah.
Which is not air-appropriate.
All right, guys. When efforts to convince James Wan to return to the Fast and Furious franchise failed, an intense search started immediately, and just last week, actor Vin Diesel had talked about wanting to direct the next film in the franchise, Fast and Furious 8, but it looks like Universal Pictures may have found its directors. Yesterday, or late last night, The Hollywood Reporter started telling people that sources were telling them that Straight Outta Compton director F. Gary Gray is ready to start negotiations for a deal. Megan, what do you think about Gray taking on Fast and Furious?
I'm disappointed that James Wan, you know, after one film, but at the same time, I'm glad that he's going back to what I assume is the horror genre. I hope that's his next project. Gray has a great resume. You know, even before Straight Outta Compton, he had some really impressive stuff on his resume. I mean, even going so far back as The Italian Job, I think he can do a great heist picture with cars. I think he's a good fit.
Yeah, I totally agree on that.
I'd be intrigued to see what his take on it, especially what his take on it is, verb, especially since he's done a lot of more serious fare, and then you're moving into Fast and Furious, which is cars and explosions.
Yeah. Well, he also directed Friday, so he's no stranger to comedy and action.
And he has a background a lot in music videos, so I feel like that'll actually make a big difference, since music videos tend to be like a lot of fast cuts and a lot of action. But that said, I'm also kind of surprised they're not giving Vin Diesel a chance. I mean, he's really carried this franchise, and so I'm surprised that it's not like, we'll give this to you.
Well, and just notably that Vin Diesel is so involved in the production in this that he did meet with F. Gary Gray this week as well to talk to him before anything kind of happened. So I think if Vin Diesel's on board with him, then I'm on board with him.
Yeah,
because I think Vin Diesel's had such a big part, and I do love the Fast and Furious franchise. It's such a great popcorn flick. quick that you can just go and escape and know that you're just going to have a really good time and see really fun cars and stunts that are just like mind-blowing. Hasbro has put together a writer's room to hash out the future of the Transformers franchise, and after just 3 months, they've come up with 5 ideas for new films, in addition to numerous spin-offs on various types of media. This week, Hasbro's president confirmed that we are getting more and more Transformers, saying, stay tuned, Transformers 5 is on its way, and 6, and 7, and 8. While nothing is set in motion just yet, Bay and Spielberg have been talking things over. Katie, what do you think of the world getting more Transformers, and do we need it?
I have never seen a franchise so badly in need of a reboot. I love Transformers. I love the shows. I hate the movies so much. And again, I'm in this for a character perspective, and what they did in the fourth movie, it was not fun to watch in any capacity, and it went on for about 3 hours longer than it should have. So, hearing that they are going to stick with the continuity they've established and just make more is disheartening at best and horrifying at worst. If they're like, hey, we're going to reboot it, we're going to go in a different direction. Yes! But that is not the case, and I am extremely sad to hear this news.
It is a double-edged sword, because on the one hand... Well, no, it really, truly is, because if you really love Transformers, then you know why the movies are so disappointing. Like, there is so much good Transformers stuff out there that, sadly, the movies pale by comparison. And I'm with you, Katie. The fourth one hurt my heart so badly, because it killed off so many of my favorite... Like, the series on its own has killed off so many of my favorite characters... I wouldn't mind a reboot, and it's mishandled Optimus Prime's characterization so badly in this previous film. It needs a reboot, and it we're does. Not getting one. I'm hoping that with at least a group of writers that we can, if we're sticking with this continuity, we can at least come up with some fresh ideas and maybe have a movie, you know, again, Optimus Prime flew into space. Maybe we can have a movie that's different. Maybe we can have something fresh and new.
Well, and there's talk about a woman in the writer's room, which will be helpful. And there's been talk about having a spinoff just about B. So that could be those. We just don't know, but... Yeah.
I'm waiting for the table to start throwing things at me because I didn't hate 4.
I'm just surprised.
I didn't hate it. Was way too
Did you
long.
Tolerate
Absolutely
it?
Way too long. There were parts of it that were just silly. And I grew up with the Transformers and I love the Transformers. And I think that what the reason why I didn't hate it so much is because I had the ability to separate what I know and love from the movie. Because to me, what I loved about the movie is I got to see Transformers riding Dinobots. And to me, the 13-year-old came out, and I was so excited about that, but I let a lot of things slide.
So you're saying
the parts that need to be cut were everything before that.
There were a lot of parts that needed to be cut. It was way too long. Am I excited about another one? Do we need another one? Like you said, if they were going to reboot the franchise, I totally agree. Let's get on board and let's do it. But do we need 3 more with the same thing that we're already going? Probably not so much. Zoe, what do you think?
I agree. I think I'm on board with you right now, Chrisley. I didn't see the 4th one, but I liked 1-3. You know, to me, it's the sort of fun action. I'm not like you two in the center here, where I've seen all of the cartoons and I know the whole mythology of the world of Transformers, but I remember them from when I was little. I remember, if you guys are with me here, the old McDonald's Transformers. So, like, I love them, and I think that it's just fun action and it's fluff and popcorn. But like Chrisley said, I agree. Like, talking about, you know, like, up to 20 now, you know, I mean, I'm exaggerating, but it's a lot of Transformers to play on this far ahead.
Yeah, I agree. Disney has been trying to get an Enchanted sequel off the ground for some time now, and 8 years later, after the original, we may have a title. A working title, that is. According to Collider, the sequel will be called Disenchanted, and they're also saying that Disney is currently punching up the script with the hopes of it being green light ready soon. Anne Fletcher, from the proposal, is still attached to direct. Zoe, what do you think of the working title of the Enchanted sequel, and do you think too much time has passed?
I'd say yes, and the title sounds fine. To be honest, I didn't love Enchanted at all. Like, the opposite of didn't love it. Like, I really, really didn't love it. So will I be going to see Disenchanted or any other movie by its name? I will for the show. I will for all of you. But would I in my real life? No, I wouldn't. But, you know, the fact is, I love Anne Fletcher. I love The Proposal. I mean, who doesn't love watching that movie when it's on?
Ryan Reynolds.
I think it's fantastic. Yum. Ryan Reynolds, Sandra Bullock. So do I think she could do something good with it? Yes.
I am up for this movie. I love the title being a play on the original. I'd love to see what they do with it. And if you're worried about it being too long for a sequel, two words, Tron Legacy.
Oh, my heart again, ladies. I'm actually caught in between you two because I loved the first Enchanted, but I don't know if I'm on board with the sequel. And actually, Disenchanted, to me, kind of sounds like an SNL skit title. Like, a lot like Age of Ultron, you know, Age of Me, you know, Black Widow, true. Age of Me. That's, to me, it sounds like a skit parodying Disney movies and not in, like, the fun way that Enchanted did.
Yeah, I agree. I loved Enchanted. I thought it was so much fun. It was such a different take. It was something we had never seen before. And Amy Adams was adorable. Perfect. I mean, she was just adorable. And Patrick Dempsey as well. Like, I hope to God they would come back. If they don't come back, I don't want to see the sequel.
Then why bother?
But yeah, I would hope that they are. I do fear that it's been a long time. It may get people to go see the original if they haven't. But I think Disney's been so busy with other films that there's a reason why this hasn't been green light ready yet. And I hope that if they're taking their time, that means it's going to be really good when it comes out. We can put our hopes up on that. Yeah. All right. The Hollywood Reporter is reporting that Seth Graham Smith, author of Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter and Pride and Prejudice Zombies, is in negotiations to helm Warner Brothers' new superhero flick, The Flash, based on the iconic DC comic book. And also, there's a big television show right now, if you haven't seen it. Phil Lord and Chris Miller have worked on the treatment with the hopes to also direct, but were unable to due to their other projects. You know, that little movie called Han Solo by Star Wars. They're kind of busy with that one. This would be the directorial debut for Graham Smith. Katie, what are your thoughts on Graham Smith as a director for a new Flash movie?
I'm torn because I love the TV series and I'm not ready to jump ship to try something else. The fact that Graham is a first-time director and is known better as a novelist is really odd, and it seems to me like DC almost wants to tank the project. They don't want a competing property with something that is extremely popular right now. So just kind of, we have to do a Flash movie because we already announced it, but let's just kind of stick with the series because it's doing really well, and we'll give it to a guy who has never done this before in his life, and if it tanks, he's a first-time director, whatever. Well, it's not the first time we've had a superhero flop from DC.
Well, just to clarify, too, he's a first-time feature film director, but he has directed television before.
Okay.
He directed episodes of The Hard Times of R.J. Berger from TV back in 2010, 2011.
MTV, right?
Yes. So he has directed before, but this is his first feature film.
So what's your take on it, then?
My take on it is I'm not into the zombie movies, so, you know, like, that's where he comes from. That's his background. I think that's great. You know, in a lot of ways, the zombie movies are similar to the superhero movies.
Keep coming back?
Well, you know, I mean, in the sense, right, that you're taking characters who have a mythology behind them and you're creating a world that doesn't exist. So in that regard, sure, why can't he direct Flash if he's used to zombies?
See, for me, I love his novels. Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter is one of my favorites. It just gives me so much joy. But in terms of film, Seth Graham Smith has so many projects on so many different burners at so many different stages of development. I'm not sure he should be directing something right now. I feel like he needs to stick with certain projects and allow them to fully develop and then kind of move on to the next thing. He's working on a million different things right now. I feel like you need to slow down and pick one, finish it, then move on to the next.
I also feel like if you're going to have a directorial debut, maybe it should be one of the books that you wrote that is becoming a film adaptation. I feel like when DC, you know, part of the reason why I can't get on board with DC films, and I grew up as a DC comic book lover and had no interest in Marvel comic books, but I knew the DC characters, and it's so hard for me as an adult not to be excited about these movies. But then when DC does something like this, it makes me just gives me another reason why not to be confident with him. And not that I'm saying that he may not be a great director, but when you're talking about R.J. Berger and then you're talking about The Flash, I don't think the two can translate at all. Yeah. I mean, and I'm not saying that people can't do other things because they can, and everybody's a first-time director once. But it just, when DC has not had such a great track record with superhero movies, and The Flash is beloved, as we know from the television show, people love, love, love that show, and it's going to be compared to that no matter what they do. So you're putting a first-time director and somebody that's a novelist and not necessarily even a screenwriter, that's really scary to me. Before we get into castings, I also want to let you know we have a giveaway this week. Super fun. It is for those of you who have children or for those of you that just love My Little Pony. It's the My Little Pony Equestria Girls Friendship Games. It's adorable. I've watched it. It's really sweet and cute. And if you would like to win this, I would like you to go into our comment section or tweet us or use Instagram. Send us a picture of maybe why your kids with their My Little Ponies, why they love Little Ponies. Tell me why your kids love Little Ponies. Tell me why you love My Little Ponies. And use the hashtag TMC Pony Giveaway. TMC Pony Giveaway. Hashtag Twitter, Instagram, comment section, and I will tell you next week who the winner is of this DVD, and we will send it out. And it's really cute, so I hope you guys, or whoever wins it, enjoys it. And thank you to the company that sent this to us, because yay, we love giveaways. I don't know if you can see it, but Shout Kids is the one who sent this to us. So we'll put a picture up on our Instagram and on our website as well. So let's get into some casting news. First one is exciting. John Voight, Gemma Chan from Humans, Carmen Ejigo, which I'm probably butchering, from Selma, has joined the cast of the upcoming Harry Potter spinoff Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. The film also stars Eddie Redmayne as Newt Scamander and Colin Farrell. David Yates is at the helm, who is no stranger to the Harry Potter universe. The film is based on the J.K. Rowling's book of the same name under the fictitious name Newt Scamander, played by, like I said, Eddie Redmayne. This is the textbook that Harry Potter used in the first book at Hogwarts. And you actually can buy the book, which is amazing. I own it. It's adorable. And there's little Harry Potter writings in it. Like, he writes, he leaves notes. It's adorable. I love it. Okay, sorry. The story takes place 70 years before Potter enters Hogwarts in 1920s New York. And the screenplay will be written by Rowling herself. And this is the first for the book author. Megan, what do you think of the new additions to the cast?
Well, first of all, has anybody watched Humans yet? It's on AMC. Gemma is gorgeous. She Beautiful. Is absolutely stunning
there,
in that
There
show.
Should be a picture that had pulled up at some point that will show her as
yeah,
well.
She's beautiful. But even aside, I'm very excited for this casting. And I really love that this is like very diverse casting for the Harry Potter movies, because there was a lot of concern when they initially announced, you know, that this film was going to be done. There was some concern from fans that there wasn't going to be a whole lot of representation when it comes to diversity because of the time period. So the fact that they are doing diverse casting is very, very exciting. And the fact that they've gotten these names, I'm very, very excited.
Yeah, it just shows how much the Harry Potter franchise has behind it now when you're getting people like John Voight and Eddie
Redmayne. Exactly.
Well, Megan said everything I want to say. Sign me up.
I'm sorry.
No, that's good. Just sign me up.
Well, I'm excited about Eddie Redmayne in particular after The Theory of Everything last year and the upcoming Danish Girl, which I'm really excited about. I think he'll do a phenomenal job. It'll be like third Oscar, can we say? No matter what he does, let's just hand him an Oscar, right?
And or Leo DiCaprio.
And the fact that they've gotten the same, you know, David Yates as director. Yeah. That again, how many Harry Potter movies has he directed? Was it 6, 7 and both of the Deathly Hallows?
Yes.
Yeah, no, yeah. He's
no
perfect.
Stranger. He's
perfect.
No stranger. And I hope that they get a lot of the same producers as well, because that team worked so amazingly together and they know that world. And obviously, yes, this is going to be a little bit of a different world, but at the same time, it's also still Harry Potter. And those of us fans that love it are so excited, and it's going to bring new fans into the franchise as well, which is exciting. And like you said, these names, I mean, could they get any better?
And super excited about the time period.
Yeah, it's
It'll be interesting to see the Harry Potter universe without Voldemort hanging over it.
Yeah, that's true, because it's before he was born.
Yeah. That's an interesting point.
Yeah, yeah. It's all really interesting to see. Next up, Jeremy Irons and Brendan Gleeson are joining the cast of Assassin's Creed opposite Michael Fassbender and Marion Cotillard. Irons will play Cotillard's father and Gleeson, Fassbender's father. The film is based on the hugely popular video game Assassin's Creed. Creed.
Wow. That was that sour.
I don't have my glasses on today, guys. Katie, what do you think of the new addition to the cast of Assassin's Creed?
There's a cream. There's a dairy joke here, and I can't come up with it. I am once again in sign me up territory. Jeremy Irons, yes, please. I think he will add a certain gravitas to the film.
Yeah.
But when it says Fassbender's father, we know that Fassbender is playing two different characters. We know he's playing the real life counterpart and the assassin. Is Jeremy Irons going to play one character's father or the other, or are we just going to say we don't care about genetics and play both? Either way, I'm up for it. Yes, please.
Yeah.
I really want some chips and dip now.
Sour for her.
Exactly. But I will say that this is exciting. I'm with you, Katie. I really love Jeremy Irons. And I'm actually really... I hadn't heard about Marion Cotillard being in the movie. So I loved her in Dark Knight Rises. So I am all on board.
They haven't announced anything aside from she's going to be in the movie.
Yeah, we don't know who she's
playing. And now
playing.
We know who her dad is. Yeah. So, you know, that narrows it down.
You know, I'm not really familiar with this. I know it's based on the game, and I remember from, I think it was our very first episode, you guys taking us sort of through the mythology of the game and how it'll be changed, it sounds like, a little for the movie. But other than the fact that it sounds like there's an amazing cast, I'm not really familiar with it.
We can totally give you a rundown after the show.
Just not right now.
Well, you know what's funny is sometimes there's castings for films and you're just like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make me excited. But this and just like the Harry Potter casting, names like this, when they sign on to projects like this, make you have more faith in them. Because, yes, there hasn't been many great video game to movie adaptations.
None.
I don't agree. I think Tomb Raider was pretty good, the first one. I liked Tomb Raider.
I
liked but I think when you have mediocre. These names signing on to things like this, it gives you more faith that the project has some substantiality to it, and that people like Irons, people like Marion Cotillard are not signing, Fassbender, they're not signing on to projects that don't have anything behind them. So I think when you get names like that, it gets me a little bit more excited about a movie that, yes, I would have seen no matter what, but was I excited about? Probably not. Variety is reporting that Ellen Page is in talks to star in a remake of the 1990s sci-fi thriller Flatliners for Sony. The original film starred Julia Roberts, Kiefer Sutherland, and Kevin Bacon, and revolves around a group of med students who travel to the afterlife to find meaning in their own lives before being resuscitated at the very last minute. And their experiments soon go awry, of course, because it wouldn't be a movie if they didn't. Zoe, what do you think of Ellen Page starring in a Flatliners remake?
Okay, well, I love Ellen Page, so let's start there. I think she's great. But I had to actually go and look up this movie on Flatliners because it's not, you know, it's scary. And as Megan is our normal scary gal, or scary chick, I should say. You know, it just, to me, like a little too much nail biting, but it had an amazing cast. When you go back and look at, you know, Kiefer Sutherland and Julia Roberts and all the people who are in it. So to me, if I'm just looking at casting and looking at the casting of the previous movie, I'd say, sure, I bet it'll be good because they're already going in a good direction.
You know, I'm up for it, but only if we get cameos from the original cast.
That'd be interesting. They're doing it in Ghostbusters.
Maybe. Okay, so the original movie, it was directed by Joel Schumacher and starring Kiefer Sutherland. When I see those two together, I want either Phone Booth or Lost Boys. For that movie, for it to be remade right now, I kind of worry that it's going to come off more as... Did anybody see the Lazarus Effect at the beginning of the year?
No.
It's like you have this really interesting concept and you don't know what to do with it. And the way the Lazarus Effect came off was... too serious to be fun and too silly to be, you know, to be taken seriously. And I worry that remaking Flatliners, which, again, as a product of the early 90s/late 80s, was also campy and trying to be serious but kind of confused. I feel like remaking it, you're either going to end up like the Lazarus Effect or you're just going to be not as good as the original.
I actually think it would benefit the original to be remade, because I feel like the first one, like you said, it wasn't as scary as they intended it to be. Like, it definitely was more thriller than horror, and it was something that I could watch. So if I could watch it, it wasn't that scary, because I can't sleep at night if I watch anything. So if I can watch it, it wasn't that bad. And I think a movie like this could actually benefit from a remake with the newer technology, with a newer cast, and it might be kind of fun. And we've seen movies do really well with that line of, like, kind of campy, kind of not, but still really good. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like a movie like this might actually benefit from a remake, which I never say. And I also just think it's because Ellen Page. I mean, yeah, obviously, she's not definitely signed on yet. It's just negotiations. It's just talks. But Ellen Page is an actress that I have loved watching over the years. I mean, from Juno to Freehand, it's like, she is amazing, and she's such an amazing actress, and I love watching her work, and I think she would be really interesting in a movie like this, especially obviously if she's playing Julia Roberts' character, which is obviously what we think she would be. So I think she would actually be really fun as that character.
So what was your question?
Well, Chris Lee answered it a little bit. I was just curious, since I haven't seen the original, was the original intended to be scary? But it sounds like it wasn't, so I might be able to handle it.
The original, again, was directed by Joel Schumacher, whose take on horror is Lost Boys.
So. Yeah, it's not horror. It's thriller.
Okay,
it's
so where IMDb lists it is more horror.
Joel Schumacher, so even when it's supposed to be horror, it still comes off as a little bit more campy.
Okay, good to know.
So we're going to get into the trailers, go to the trailer park this week. There's four new trailers that we're talking about. The first one, is The Choice. It is a movie based on a adaptation of a Nicholas Sparks book. So, yes, you've seen many of them. You've seen Dear John. You've seen The Notebook. You've seen a lot of them. But this is the newest one. So, Zoe, I'll start off with you. What did you think of the trailer for The Choice?
The trailer looked good, except for the part where we get to the normal Nicholas Sparks part, where someone either dies or gets hurt and there's something really majorly sad, which, surprisingly, I can handle in The Notebook, and I love that movie, although I bawl like a baby every time I watch it, which is every time it's on TV. But, you know, the trailer otherwise, I thought, you know, it's one of those, you know what you're getting.
You've seen one, you've seen them all. That's all I got. You've seen one, you've seen them all.
I kind of have to concur. I mean, Nicholas Sparks is kind of known for doing the same. He has a very specific formula.
White people in love.
But even if we were, I didn't know that Nicholas Sparks was behind this movie, I feel like the trailer gave away too much. Yeah. But I feel like it does, every trailer for every Nicholas Sparks movie always does that. I feel like I've seen the movie already.
Well, and I feel like they do that because the target audience is the people that have read the books, and the small people that are going to go see that kind of movie that haven't read the books. And Nicholas Sparks readers know the story, so they want to know that they're signing up for what they read. I love Nicholas Sparks books. I have read almost all of them. It's a guilty pleasure of mine. I love the books. Some of the movies I've liked, some of them I haven't liked. The one with Josh Duhamel. Josh Duhamel. Tanked. Wasn't very good.
Was that Safe Haven?
Safe Haven. Okay. That's exactly what it was. Thank you. I didn't love that one. And the book was so, so good and not cheesy, and the movie made it really cheesy. And this is exactly what Zoe said. You know what you're getting. I won't not see it because it's another Nicholas Sparks movie, and I'm going to see it no matter what. But I didn't get any more excited. I did read the book, so I do know the story. And it looks like a pretty faithful adaptation, so I think readers will be excited about that. I think always the biggest problem with Nicholas Sparks' book is the casting, right? Which doesn't always work. So, well, that's yet to be seen.
Yeah, if there's no chemistry, you have no movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. The next trailer that we're going to talk about is the new James Bond. It is the final trailer for Spectra, trailer 395. And it's out. Megan, what do you think? You got really excited there when I mentioned it, so.
I have loved the Daniel Craig Bond movies. Skyfall, I mean, Quantum of Solace, but Skyfall and Casino Royale were great, and everything that they've been showing for Spectre has just made me more and more excited for the movie. And so seeing this final trailer, I'm just as hyped as, like, the first time they showed the Spectre teaser poster. I'm all on board. I'm ready for this movie.
I will say I prefer my James Bond with a little bit more camp, but that's because I walked into it in the 90s and Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Fair enough.
GoldenEye formed my childhood, you guys. Between that and the game, that was it. That said, it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. It looks like it's going to be a very good, very solid movie. And cinematography. Yes!
Yeah, if it's anything like the cinematography in Skyfall, we are in for a visual treat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
The looks all came this way.
Hello.
You know, I have to say, I think the trailer looks good and, like, lots of fun, the sort of action I like. But I'm going to say this. I think you guys are probably all about to disagree with me. I'm wondering if anyone out there does agree with me. I can't get into Daniel Craig. I don't know what it is. I don't love him.
That's okay. Like yeah, I said, no, my Bond is Pierce Brosnan. Murder me for that
that's
one.
Okay.
No, I'm on board. Pierce Brosnan.
All right, and it's all right. Okay. Everybody has their own choice of Bond. It's all right. There are plenty of people who don't like Daniel Craig. It's okay.
Just like everyone has their own doctor. They're both Time Lords.
I agree that the cinematography should be amazing. The trailer looks like it's going to be a whole lot of fun. But Daniel Craig is not my favorite Bond. And it's so funny because you get into these conversations with people of who your favorite Bond is and everybody goes through the list. And I do wish they gave Pierce Brosnan a little bit more to work with because I don't think that was the best Bond movie. And I think he could have been an amazing Bond. He's one of my favorite actors in that kind of genre. I love to see him play that kind of smooth guy because he's so good at it. But I do think this trailer looks amazing, and I think that it does look like it's a lot of fun. He's just so not my favorite Bond. He just doesn't do it for me. Just doesn't do it. The next trailer we're going to be talking about, which I'm really excited about, is Woodlawn, based on a true story inspirational sports movie. Ladies, Katie, what did you think?
It reminded me of Remember the Titans, yes, but with the Disney filter stripped off. So it's probably going to be a lot more raw. It's probably going to address things that Remember the Titans didn't quite get into. And I am super intrigued. I'd love to see this.
I'm, when it comes to sports movies in general, I am very kind of picky because I'm not a big sports person. But I am with you, Katie. I was a big fan of Remember the Titans, even though I don't like football. And so seeing this, it reminded me of when I was a kid seeing Remember the Titans in the theater. But yeah, as a much more serious version of it. So I'm very intrigued to see this. It looks like it's going to be kind of a harsh film experience because these are very, very serious issues. So I'm intrigued, but at the same time, I'm a little bit like, okay, that's going to be a movie day where it's like, okay.
I have to mention that in this trailer, we see one of the best sports movie actors of all time and Sean Astin from Rudy. I mean, that is still one of the best sports inspirational movies I have seen. I absolutely love it. It's so much fun. It's an amazing movie. It's inspiring. It makes you laugh. It makes you cry. It's great. And it looks like he's playing the coach, possibly. So I'm really excited about it for that reason. I love these kind of movies. And I think that when they are tackling issues like they are within the storyline of sports, people's eyes are open and their ears are open as well, which I think is a really great way to kind of discuss things like this. So I'm really excited about it. John Voight is also in this one. Love him. Cannot get enough of him on Ray Donovan right now either. So I love him. But to me, what made me the most excited was seeing Sean Astin in it because he hasn't done another sports movie. And to know that he wanted to be a part of this after being a part of Rudy means that I think this film is going to do really well.
I agree. I think it looks interesting, and correct me if I'm wrong, ladies, but the last sports film that I can think of that also addressed a similar topic was 42 from about two and a half years ago. So
that was about Jackie Robinson.
Right, it was Jackie Robinson. So I think that it'll be interesting also to see how the two take similar issues and how they address them.
Yeah, absolutely. The next trailer that we're going to talk about is called Triple Nine, which is a gang of criminals and corrupt cops plan the murder of a police officer in order to pull off their biggest heist yet across town. This movie has a freaking amazing cast. Let me just go down a couple of the actors. Norman Reedus, Kate Winslet, Aaron Paul, Gal Gadot, Chiwetel Ejiofor, Woody Harrelson, Casey Affleck, Anthony Mackie. I mean, it goes on and on and on when I go down the list of this trailer. So Megan, what did you think about this one?
This movie looks intense. It looks really dark and intense. So I don't know necessarily if it's the type of movie that I would enjoy. But at the same time, this cast is so amazing. As the trailer kept going on, I'm like, is that Daryl Dixon?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, is that Anthony Mackie? And like, as it kept going, I'm like, there are so many amazing people involved in this. I kind of have to see it now.
I will probably not. There's a level of violence that I can handle, and this went over that in the trailer alone. Yeah. And as far as the trailer itself goes, I honestly had no idea what it was about. It wasn't until I found the plot summary, like, oh, they're doing this. Oh, I thought they were just shooting things and dumping paint on people. All right. So it's kind of an odd trailer in that it does the exact opposite of everything we've been complaining about for trailers and doesn't tell you anything. It looks like it's either going to be very good or very gratuitous. Mm-hmm. Either way, not my genre. I'm going to pass.
I agree. I think Katie summed it up perfectly. I had to also go and read the summary a couple times. And yeah, for my level of violence, I don't think I can take this either.
I am so excited about this movie. I saw the trailer and I actually, I know that I've spoken about this movie before and I know that none of the ladies here have seen it, but Out of the Furnace was a movie that came out 2 years ago, directed by Scott Cooper. And I actually thought this film may have been directed by Scott Cooper or like a David Ayer. Mm-hmm. Because when I saw it, that grit and that violence, there's only certain directors that do that in a way that doesn't make it so you have to, like, cringe and don't use it as senseless violence, which we see a lot. And so I saw the trailer, and I saw the actors involved, and I saw, you know, this... It had me so intrigued. I didn't necessarily know what the film was about from the trailer either and did have to go read, but it made me intrigued to want to know what it was about. This film is totally up my alley and totally the kind of film that I love to watch. Out of the Furnace, again, one of the best movies I've seen in a really long time, and it looks kind of similar to this. I also haven't seen Kate Winslet in a role like this in a really long time or in a movie like this, so that intrigues me, and she... Like, I almost didn't recognize her in the trailer when she came by with that platinum blonde hair. but to say the least, I am extremely excited about 999.
Yeah.
I don't know about you ladies.
We're all on, like, different ends of the spectrum.
This is the most enthused, and this is the least enthused.
Yeah, right down the table. Right down the table.
And this might be the only time Katie and I are in agreement about a movie or movie genre, too, so.
Wow, that doesn't happen.
I know, I feel like that. Friendship. If you have seen this, you can't be our friend.
Well played. Wow. Well played.
That's a good segue, I think. Is that where we're headed?
We are actually heading to now showing the movies that are coming out this weekend. There's one that I'm really excited about. Two of us at this table have seen it. So the first movie that's coming out in a limited release is Victoria. The second movie, which is also a limited release, is the new Steve Jobs movie, not to be confused with the Steve Jobs movie that already came out. And the last and final movie that is hitting theaters this week is Pan, which is why I kind of left a little bit more time for now showing than I usually do, because we have seen Pan and we're not going to give a review of it because there's quick reviews for that. But I will say that I did get to visit, before I ask the ladies what they're excited about this weekend, I did get to do a set visit for this movie and I did get to go to London, and I will do a little write-up on that because it was the most amazing experience that I've ever had, and it may or may not have clouded my judgment going into the film, because I was really excited about it. But I will say that it was everything I wanted and more, if you can let go of...
The racism?
No, not at all. I don't see racism in the film at all, but we're not going to get into that discussion at all, because that's not...
Discussion.
Yeah, that's not what we're doing now showing. Ladies, what are you excited about for this weekend?
Having already seen Pan, I'm excited to see what other people think of it. I'm going to keep my mouth shut on that because I don't want to give anything away. I'm actually very, very intrigued by Victoria.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The whole movie is supposedly done in one shot. It's a 2.5-hour movie done in one shot. That is phenomenal. Like, even Birdman had a couple cuts in here and there. Yeah. They were just very clever. But, like, an entire movie done in one shot, I don't necessarily know if that'll be a good movie, but at the very least, it's admirable.
Yes. Absolutely. I mean, I can't even imagine it. And it was. It was so seamless in Birdman. And I feel like that's what so many of us were even talking about with Birdman in particular. So Victoria will be just unbelievable, the fact that they did the entire movie in one take like that.
Well, and that in and of itself may well make the movie worth seeing, just on the merits of the cinematography.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like because I saw the other Steve Jobs, I have to see this Steve Jobs. Mm-hmm. It's like the movie, it's like the year of the two magic movies, The Illusionist and the other one came out at the same time. It's like, you have to see both. You can't just see one. You have to see both and you have to compare them and say which one was better. Victoria as well, I am really excited to see. So
I have a little bit more faith in this Steve Jobs movie because it's being directed by Danny Boyle. And I think the casting choices are better in this one. And not to make judgments about the other film or anything like that, but I look at this casting and see that Aaron Sorkin's name is behind it and Danny Boyle. I'm like, this has a really lot of strong people production-wise behind it.
Yeah, and just to note, the other film wasn't bad. It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's just comparatively, you have to see both, of course. Did you say what you were excited for this weekend?
Victoria.
All right. I didn't want to skip anyone before we said goodbye to you all. Don't forget the giveaway for My Little Pony's Friendship Games. Use the hashtag TMCPonyGiveaway on Twitter. Go in the comment section. We're on Instagram. It's all on the movie Chick with 2 Ks. Don't forget that, ladies. We'll start off with Zoe. Where can they find you?
Hey, guys. You can find me on Twitter. And wait for it. I finally joined Instagram. If this is your first week tuning in, that won't mean anything to you, but if you've been watching, it might. So you can find me at Zoe Said What. So that's ZoeSaidWhat.
I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram at Kiaxet. That's KIAXET. And on Snapchat at Kia Prime. I am also on so many shows on AfterBuzz TV, including The Muppets, which starts in just a few minutes.
I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. Also on a bunch of shows at our sister network, AfterBuzz. And just follow me on Twitter to keep up with all my projects.
These are very busy ladies.
Yeah.
Very busy ladies. You guys can find me everywhere at Chrisley and also follow us at The Movie Chick with 2 Ks. Don't forget to check out our website, themoviechick.com, for movie reviews, movie news, and all kinds of other fun stuff. Don't forget the giveaway and make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. It shows us that you love us. Let us know what you think of the show and your opinions on what we talked about in the comment section below. And don't forget to head over to Popcorn Talk to watch our Movie Chick Popcorn Talk quick reviews, fast fun reviews all in under 5 minutes, spoiler free, of course. And we will see you guys next week on This Week in Movie News from The Movie Chick. Bye.